It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, our Pirate playback, another heartbreak in Dallas. And with us right now, we have, I think he's still here with us, Kyle from the Grange Barber. How are you, man?
The warm-up's been ridiculous. What's going on, Dave?
We had our warm-ups, we're stretching, and we have Bubba Rosenbaum. How are you, sir?
Good evening, guys. Doing well.
And ladies and gentlemen, a man that is, speaking of heartbreak the last 2 weeks, we'll talk about that. Terry, I don't have any records anymore. Gallagher, is that right?
Well, it's pretty close. Yeah, that's about it.
You know what Terry said?
You're in our Hall of Fame,
yeah,
Terry.
Terry said he wants his daddy's record.
I want my daddy's record.
Look, it's a false comparative. I'll explain later.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. And we'll have the bunk report as we'll get Terry's analysis. And I tell you what, Terry, you're what you've been talking about, preaching all year long, is coming true. We'll talk about that. Guys, we'll start around our usual roundtable and get your thoughts on a disappointing loss. I thought the good news I will say this, is that the last 2 weeks, it looks like the light bulbs are finally coming on. The game is slowing down for a lot of these younger guys getting experience. What do you think, Kyle?
Offense has played well. I mean, going back to the Cincinnati game, I don't know if anybody really saw that coming, that all of a sudden we have a dynamic passing game, and Holton Ahlers looks like the quarterback that everybody thought he could be, and you know, when he came here. And you have some young receivers stepping up, like C.J. Johnson, Taylor Snead. You had Cy Hatfield. You had Amatosho making his first touchdown catch as a Pirate. So things are coming together, man. I wish they could have done it a little earlier in the year. But, you know, it's a shame. You got to be perfect to beat SMU and Cincinnati as good as they are, and we just can't find a way down the stretch. We find ways to lose. We give up 4th and 20s for touchdowns. Buff kickoff. We find ways to lose rather than find ways to win, just because we haven't won yet. We're still learning how to win.
Right.
But offense is really clicking. The defense, SMU's got a hell of an offense, and it messes with your head. You're not used to a team going for it on 4th down over and over. So,
there's a reason, Kyle, right? We talked about that in our preseason.
Yeah, they didn't have a kicker. They didn't have a kicker, and so lots of times if they had a field goal kicker, it would have almost been a benefit to us, because they wouldn't have been going for it on 4th down every damn time.
Right.
And
they may have had to punt the ball, too, because in some situations, too.
Exactly, yes. But, I'm proud of the way the boys have played the last couple of weeks. I wish we didn't have an off week right now. I'm ready to go beat UConn. I'd love to find a way to win these last two. UConn and then Tulsa won't be easy. They just beat UCF. But it's certainly a game we can win as at home at Senior Day. I'm with all the young guys on offense, I mean, everybody on the offensive side is Paul's young. I'm so excited about next year and what this offense could be. Next year will probably be a lot of fun.
Hey, Bubba, what about the fact that, I mean, speaking of the offense, it's nice to see it's funny, and we'll talk to Terry in just a second. It's nice to see the very fact of all these people that are talking about Holton Ahlers should move over to tight end. And you play the quarterback position, don't you think? And you remember last week when I asked Holton at the post-game press conference against Cincinnati, and he agreed with me. The game is slowing down for him, and you look at it the last couple weeks, it's just absolutely amazing. And the one thing I will say for Holton is a lot of these guys is coming down to, we have talent. I'm not saying we have the talent of Alabama, so don't misunderstand me, folks, but we just don't have the experience to match the talent right now.
Yeah, as far as Holton's concerned, the last 2 weeks, what he's thrown for more than 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, and just that one interception, just remarkable. He's completed somewhere 75% to 80% of his passes, something like that. So he's just been off the charts in the top two individual games in terms of yardage in East Carolina history. And And yesterday, right there, people were saying, well, it's just not realistic to expect him to throw for 535 yards again, and dang if he didn't near do it. But that's what I saw Kevin Monroe, color analyst on the Learfield IMG College network, and just talking about that in the pregame on 94.3. And I saw he said something to the effect of what I just said, and he said, well, but maybe we can't expect 350 out of him, and he was right there 2 yards away from 500. But in addition to him, Tay Williams, I was glad to see he had far and away his best game as a Pirate. I think he had had 18 rushes going into yesterday, and he had 14 carries for 61 yards, so that was great to see. You had Demetrius Mooney had some nice runs as well. I want to say he had one that's a little over 30 yards there on that first drive of the second half. And then you had a tremendous concentration job there by Zach Bird after he kind of set the ball to himself, a tip drill with himself on that play-action pass. But once he didn't catch it cleanly, that was a good job of staying focused and making the play to get us there. What was that? Did that pull us within one or a field goal or something?
Yeah, right, 28-27.
Yeah, right there on the first drive of the second half. And then Tyler Snead. Tyler Snead's contributed all year. I think he had like 25 catches for about 350 yards or something coming into yesterday. And then 19 for 240 and three touchdowns. What a remarkable day for him. And that was great to see with C.J. Johnson being out in a non-factor yesterday due to his injury, whatever that is. And so, but I think, Kyle, as far as C.J. is concerned, what you heard in the post game is much going to be something that's kind of day-to-day or at least a week-to-week thing.
I don't know if it's what his injury is. It almost makes me think maybe he was sick because Coach Houston said it'll just be a couple days and he'll be back. I wonder if it was a stomach flu type situation, something like that. But I tell you what I want to see against UConn. Snead had a gazillion catches and Johnson had a gazillion catches. I want to see them both do it against UConn. I want 20 catches against UConn.
You know what I want to see? Is I want to see our very good friend Terry Gallagher. I want to see him upset again. Because that means that some wide receiver's broken another record or upset him some more. But, you know, the good news is that means I want to see, Terry, I want to see if we put 70, 80 points on the Connecticut team will be fine with me because I'm just I want to send them out with a disappointment, an embarrassment against East Carolina.
Well, the thing is, with the – as far as the guys breaking the record, both times we lost. So I just didn't settle for everybody catching lesser amounts in yardage in us win. Just like back when I caught mine, we didn't even, in fact, nobody ever really said much about it at the time. So
that was what gives.
Yeah, by the way, for y'all who don't know, the individual game record for receptions that Snead and
CJ Jones
was held by one that's Terry Gallagher here.
218 yards on three catches.
Yeah.
Most yards. not the reception. Yards.
Yeah, and the average yards per catch. Now that's another story. But when you look at theirs, I think of course Snead had 19 catches for 240 yards and three touchdowns. I'll say that. CJ had 13 catches for 283 yards. Okay. Well, I had three for 218. Now that for the whole season that year. Now we only played 11 games schedules, but I had, for the season, I led the team in total receptions with 13 catches the whole
year. Wow.
Now, I had almost 500 yards, though. So if you want to look at it that way, CJ didn't break my record because my 13 catches came up with 480-something yards.
Over 11 again.
And 7 touchdowns out of 13. So, see, then same thing, Snead didn't come close.
But, Terry, you have to be happy with – aren't you happy with your wide receiving core? If you're in – you would be in the wide receiving room right now. You got to be tickled. Kyle is a running back guy. He's got to be tickled because we are I'm telling you guys right now, you can write this down, we are loaded on offense. And all these people that make talk about talent not being there, whatever, it just comes down to experience. I'm telling you, you give these guys – I said last week to folks at my day job.
Dave, something
happened to your audio.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You sound better now.
You sound like you were in a tunnel.
What in the world? I was saying
There we go.
All right. I was telling people that the very fact is that 2 years, the group that we have right now, they're going to be we're going to do a conference. We're going to compete for championships. How about that?
I agree. I'm looking forward to next year to seeing what this offense is going to do. I'm excited. Can't wait to open up with Marshall. But I'm looking forward to these last two. You know. 5-7. It's been 2015. The last time we went 5-7. So if we can do that this year, we got to get 4 before we can get 5. You know, I'll be pretty excited. It ain't the 6-6 that I wanted and getting, you know, pseudo bowl eligible, but damn it, 5-7 still out there, and let's go get it.
People don't understand is the. Our conference has turned into a fairly, top to bottom, once you take Connecticut out of the picture, we're going to have 11 football teams that can play with just about anybody in the country, if not anybody. Because you look at it from the top down, it's almost hard to figure out who the top is right now. And then it's in terms of who the bottom is. We've been at the bottom here, but that's not going to last.
No.
And all that's happening is by us, Tulane's getting better, Tulsa's gotten better. Of course, you see what SMU has done with their 30-something transfers. See, what's happening to the game, and this is what people refuse to believe, especially here where I live in Georgia, is that because of the total number of scholarships, combined with the transfer portal, what you're starting to do is allow any team in the country just about to be able to bring together a top group of players at any particular time. And then if you have schools that build, like what Coach Houston's doing with us, you know, we're not going to be good. We've struggled in all this year, but people don't understand how much better we've gotten. We're building a solid base, and with that, we're going to have a large number of young players for the next year or two. But then after that, we're going to start having these 20-something. Class senior groups that everybody's playing, and then we're going to have these 30-something juniors, and we're going to have, you know, we're starting to get to the point where, you know, as we build on what Coach Houston has started, it's going to be pretty good, and people need to. I don't look back. You can't learn from it and then put it up.
You know, Terry, you make a good point on that very thing. Is I think the one good thing about the whole comfort regime, I guess there is, as I've said many times before, it's made me even bigger fan. It's made us, I think, a lot of people, even though there was a lot of division, I think you're starting to see, and I want to get your guys' take on this. Do you guys feel, I don't feel the division anymore that we've had, say from 2015 to maybe 2018, though this year has been nice because of the administration we have. You look at the coaches that are in place, things are finally, I think, I hate to use the term right the ship, but I really believe that we're starting to get to a point now where you don't see the division that we had, say, a year or two ago.
Well, there's still some division. There's still some division, but I think to the average fan, it's mostly gone, obviously, because the targets are gone. I think the stuff with Chancellor Gerlach and some behind the scenes stuff has rubbed some people the wrong way. But in terms of Montgomery's gone, Staten's gone, and of course, Jeffrey the ass clown Comfer has gone. So the villains have been vanquished. So obviously the fan base is starting to heal, and as we roll into next year, and hopefully we're coming off of 5-7 and two straight wins to end this year, and we have an exciting offense to sell, and we have a better home schedule next year. Next year we'll have Marshall coming in here, we'll have UCF coming in here, we'll have SMU coming in here, so there'll be something to sell next year for Memphis. Depending on how the conference schedule lines up, dropping divisions, you could have Memphis in here, you could have Navy in here.
Navy.
What about Norfolk State? Are you gonna buy tickets to that?
Well, you know what? Norfolk State will probably send some fans down here.
Yeah. So, and Kyle has a special cheer just for them.
That's right. I do.
And it will be viral on YouTube.
That's right.
And we have a special game for Terry. We're sending a game down to him down in Atlanta, so he won't have far to drive to see the Pirates play with Georgia State.
And Georgia State's one of those schools that really hasn't been they've not been in the even playing football.
Not long. They
not long
the
at
program
all.
06, yeah. Something like that, and with Bill Curry and
Sun Belt a couple of years ago, and
yeah, they were at FCS program and then joined the Sun Belt, and now Bubba.
Sean Elliott.
Elliott's doing a good job with Georgia State.
He gets a lot of in-state kids that are the ones that don't make it because here, let's face it, kids want to go to the Southeastern Conference. If they don't go there, they're almost embarrassed to go anywhere, which is the product of the support groups around. They think if you don't go to the SEC, that you can't, you just aren't playing college football. And it's ridiculous. But that's just the perception that has been created, and that's what we're dealt with. And that's why schools can come into Georgia and get some very good football players. It's just they have to get off the beaten path to find them.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The one good thing is you cannot argue that the coaching staff we have now is being out-recruited. They are getting some good players out of South Carolina. I think Terry will get some more out of your home state. And then another thing is when Houston starts to win, you give this program 2 or 3 years, there's a lot of Eastern North Carolina guys and the state of North Carolina. They're going to want to come to, if they're a football player, do you want to go to a mediocre school, or do you want to go to a school that's going to be winning and have a chance to compete for championships? And, I think year 4 or 5, we'll be in the conversation of a New Year's Six Bowl. I really believe that.
It's possible. We'll have to wait and see, but that's definitely possible.
Possible under Montgomery. I wasn't saying that under Montgomery.
No,
you didn't hear me say that.
Of course not.
I'm just saying that it's not because I love the school. It's that we're seeing behind the scenes. Terry, you've got to come up to practice. You're going to be blown away how it's a real football practice again.
I would love to do it. It's just I'll get there eventually.
Well, I know you've got the autograph signing session, a lot of those going on here.
Nothing I did means a whole lot to anybody because nobody thinks that they just – shoot, I didn't know where I was going. So it's just – I wave the purple and gold, but they think it's LSU.
Hey, Terry, I don't know if you ever listened to the podcast when you're not on, but we had Al Myatt on the podcast a few weeks ago, and Al has been he's worked for several different media outlets in North Carolina. When you were here, I believe he was writing for the Washington paper.
Yeah, and, the Washington Daily News.
Yeah, and now he writes for Bonesville.net and Dunn Area Sports. But Al remembered when you were here and remembered you well, and because he was talking about covering the Pirates when Pat Dye was here, and I asked him if he remembered you, and he remembered you vividly and talked about what a great receiver you were and how he remembered details of your career. So there are some people that cared what you did.
He told a funny story with Coach Dye about how Woody Peel asked him about something about how are we going to be this year or something like that, and he asked Woody, Coach Dye asked Woody if he ever put on any pads or.
Woody had asked him about what were we going to do to stop something? You know, it was something about what were we going to do to stop something. It was something that we had been having trouble with, and he kept saying we. And Terry, not Terry, but Pat Dye said, what's with all this wee stuff? I hadn't seen you out there with any pads on.
And he was talking about
he'll shoot you the truth. And I'm going to tell you, here's the thing with him. We is important because with him, that's how he always talked about the team and what was going on with East Carolina. He never talked about what he was doing. It wasn't I. It wasn't they. When he referred to the players, he never referred to us as, well, the players. It's us. It's we. And very inclusive, which is something that was ingrained into me and I've carried through the years. And it's interesting to listen to other coaches when they talk. You can get a lot about their individual personalities just by listening to their vocabulary. And Mike Houston is a we guy.
Yeah.
And that I noticed that early, and it's not hard to differentiate. But if you're one of his, he's gonna make you feel special. And so what he's able to do is get these. And it's like Coach Dye's philosophy was: you take the great ones and get them to play great. You don't have to make them play great. If they're not playing great, you play somebody else. And I tell you, one way to motivate a guy that's great is put him on the sideline. Then once you take them average ones and make them play better than what they can play, and then the rest is just up to what the other team does. And if the other team's just 100% absolutely better than you, then they're going to beat you. If not, you're going to have to beat us. And that's what it came down to. Any game we went into, we had the attitude that we were going to win. And if you wanted to do something about it, then you had to beat us.
Something special has happened the last 2 weeks of this program when you said that was very true, Terry, is that in the past few years, in recent past, the teams didn't have to try hard to beat us. They beat us like a drum, even not even probably playing at 50%. And now this team we have now, the guys are starting, things are starting to click for them. And they're actually having to, it was like, oh, my God, we're actually going to have to play against the Pirates. And we're going to have to play against East Carolina and play against them to beat them. And that was, I think, the last 2 weeks, you're finally starting to see Pirate football again.
And it's going to continue getting better. There's going to be bumps, and there's going to be times when it's not going to be absolutely, what we want to see, but there is never going to be an issue about effort or about, us going out there thinking we're going to lose. So that is just something that, that's what you want to have.
Well, kind of along those lines, when it was 28-10 yesterday, I'm sure there was a faction of our fan base that probably thought, well, here we go again, and then all of a sudden it's 28-20.
Uh-huh. Well, what I would always tell my players is it's I don't care what it is, it's 0-0. If you'll play every play like it's 0-0 and not worry about the scoreboard, again, by the end of the game, things take care of themselves. But when you start measuring your effort by what the score is, that's for the fans. That's how fans react to things. But you as a player, if you're playing according to what the score is, and you're never going to be as good as you can be. Because, again, you've got to get the attitude that every play is the most important play of the day. And when you get that, then you're going to win football games.
And that's true because we've had players the last few years, and not trying to beat up on Montgomery, but under Montgomery. Give me permission. Under Montgomery, after two or three plays, Houston talked about that. How he's having
David Richmond, you are the real deal.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Coach Mo.
Diamond D.
Yeah, the University of Mo is doing very well. They're going to go 3. He's taking that 3-9. The program, it works. The scheme.
Wait a minute. Right now we got 3 wins. Don't. Until we get to 4, let's don't make fun of the 3-9 just yet.
But hey, we're going to get to five. We're going to be five.
I don't care. I'll take these 3 wins over what we. We're going to win this weekend. I guarantee you that.
We'll beat off, and then
that's good. Then we have an open week. I don't know how that happened, but we do. So
everybody's with us.
What's that?
Everybody has to.
Well, and yeah, it's just a strange thing, though. You know, you used to never have that. In fact, I know we've gone through seasons where it was we played 10 straight games.
It's the rare occasion. Every few years, where you have an early Labor Day and a late Thanksgiving.
Right.
That's where it comes down. That's exactly right. And you're looking at this year, and Kyle, get comments on this for you guys. You know, you were talking, Kyle, a couple weeks ago about how making these 2 games, you really don't have injuries.
Your phone's being gay again.
What's that?
You're talking in the tunnel of love again. You couldn't hear you.
Hello. I'm not talking from the Sports Illustrated phone, folks, I promise. We actually.
Every phone.
You what?
You're on your Sports Illustrated sneaker phone.
Yeah, exactly. I've never had one of those, but if you want to say I had one, it'll be fine. We're at a point now.
You're back on it again.
What? Can you hear me?
Yes, you're good. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
If you just keep saying, can you hear me?
No, I'm like, damn it. I'm going to start cussing like hell. The fact of the matter is we have 2 more weeks left. You were talking, Kyle, about having these 2 games against Cincinnati and SMU being like scrimmages. And I think that the pressure is off these guys. These guys are actually playing. The coaches are saying, what the hell do we have to lose? And they let the playbook, everything is starting to click. And you look at a fact now where we can finish 5-7. We're basically, Terry, you were talking about every play. These 2 games right now are programmed. I mean, we need to beat the hell out of Connecticut. And you have senior day against Tulsa. I don't care what we have to do. Throw everything we have to do out there and beat them. They're a good football team. But you know what? We're even better. It's a home game. And senior day, let's send the seniors out with as champions. And go 5-7, and so shut all these people up that loved the Mo lovers out there and the Morons out there. My mom used to say Moron, so I think that was a perfect name for – that's what I called the Scotty Mo fans.
Speaking as a coach, again, now with me, it's like I'm not going to – if we don't beat Connecticut by a certain number of points, that's not what I'm looking at again. I'm looking at how we play, quality of play, and what we do.
I tell you what, if we lose to Connecticut, we didn't play.
anyway, Kyle, whatever that is.
I want to beat Connecticut because they're arrogant.
If we start Connecticut, we didn't play well.
You're going to the extreme. No, I'm not saying we're losing to Connecticut. I'm just talking about, once again, that football, strange things happen. I don't care what game you ever play. So let's get through it. Let's play the best we can play, get what we can get, and move on to the next one. And
I agree with you. If we win it by 1 point, I'll be happy.
And that'll be fine. No, it won't. I'm not changing from what I've been saying all along, and that's just follow the process, and everything else works itself out. Now, again, fans do what they want to do. I mean, that's fans. There's no way you can if you're coaching to the fans, then that's a problem in the first place. And you can't have rabbit ears. And that's where we'd say when you're coaching, when you're coaching and you hear everything everybody's saying.
Now, Terry, wait a minute. I just want to say, just so you know, not only am I a fan, I'm a member of the media.
I thought you were going to say.
One more try. You're out.
You're the hair cover.
I have a press pass.
You're not one at a time, and you're mass media.
That's right. We're not.
Well,
one
the problem
time.
Is with Kyle now. He's a member of the he.
Are you pressing the flesh?
I try to press the flesh any chance I get.
We're mass communicating.
I can't believe he doesn't want the free meals though. He doesn't want the free meals.
I've got no interest in your press box and your catered meal. I'm a man of the people. I'm a man of the people. I want to be out there amongst the people trying to fight Cincinnati fans.
He wants to feel the cold. He wants to be in the rain.
Right. I want to feel the cold, be in the rain.
That's how you really
Cincinnati fans, whatever.
Fan, absolutely.
And I'm hanging out with my buddy Kieran Shanahan, so you know we're having a good time.
You're on the elevator with Kieran Shanahan.
I don't want to be in club level seating with air conditioning and fireplaces.
We can watch all your SEC games, Terry.
Speaking of watching SEC games,
you want me to start telling you who I think sucks?
speaking of watching SEC games, Bubba, how was your night last night?
It was fun. That's what Riley and I went down and we checked out the South Carolina App State game and.
Special, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I said absolutely SEC, baby. Hey,
yeah, South Carolina is a great school.
Yeah, nearly 81,000 at Williams-Brice, but there certainly was nowhere close to 81,000 left when that ball game ended. Even though South Carolina had a chance to win on the final play, there was probably not even half that there. I understand their frustration, but they certainly did not stick by their team and coaching staff for sure.
Yeah, well. I tell you what, Appalachian did everything they could to lose that game. So,
I think the Cox went limp.
The Cox went limp. Wow. Well, they make medicine for that now. Congratulations.
Turkey cry or something I heard during the game.
Congratulations to the Mountaineers for pulling off the win against South Carolina. You beat two Power Five teams in 1 year. Congratulations, Zach. You continue to do things that we did years ago.
And prove that there ain't no difference between the Power Five and everybody.
There's no such thing. Exactly. And you know what's great is that Appalachian State is a perfect example of a program that's definitely up and coming. And Hey, let's talk about this a minute. I brought up this earlier, guys.
Bubba got to talk about his Mountaineers. Now Dave gets to talk about his entire basketball.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to talk about that. I was going to talk about the very fact of somebody that got fired that we were talking about earlier in Arkansas.
Chad Morris.
Morris and the fact that there's a lot of programs out there, and I'm sorry, Terry, you're in your favorite SEC country in Georgia and all that, but there's a lot of schools that their expectations of fans are so ridiculous.
Well, Pat Morris deserved to be fired.
No. I'm not. We're not arguing about that. I'm saying there's no question about that. He's not a good coach. He's overrated as a coach. He deserved to go. It's one thing to stumble against a conference opponent, but losing, getting blown out, or losing a team, they have no.
They lost to Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky's a good team. They got blown out by San Jose State. Now they got blown out by Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky manhandled them. I mean, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, they had 45-17 or something yesterday, and so he was 4-18 in 22 22 games, and then
that's Scotty Montgomery-ish.
Yeah, 4-18, and then in addition to that 26-point loss or whatever it was to Western Kentucky yesterday, they had the loss to San Jose State that Kyle mentioned. And then last year, they had lost to Colorado State, and they were middle of the road team. But then and also North Texas went in there and won by right at 4 touchdowns. So they had 2 losses to 2 Conference USA teams by 4 touchdowns, or right at it.
And by the way, why the hell couldn't we have scheduled Arkansas for this past weekend? That would have been fantastic.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But Arkansas is a fan base that is, you know, they're expect. Everybody thinks that it's kind of like I was mentioning to the guys, Bubba, before you came on with us in our pre-show warm up. By the way, that'll be available $9.99. Everybody can get that for $10.
I get what you're saying about fans' expectations, but, you know, I just – it's like glass houses and throwing stones, man, because I think some of our fans, maybe now they've realized that going back to the Ruffin McNeil days, I think some of our fans are just as bad as anybody.
Everybody has. There's no – you know, Cecil Staten had a lunatic fringe. Every fan base has a lunatic fringe. There's no doubt about it. But I'm talking about – the situation, I don't think we don't have fans talking about we're going to win the national championship, or she should be winning the national championship, and that's because of it's rigged up against us. That's a whole other debate. I'm just saying there's Arkansas in there. You can put South Carolina fans in there. There's a whole bunch of fan bases. Virginia Tech is another one. They're not going to be winning the national championship anytime soon, but their fans obviously expect it, and their unrealistic expectations for the fan base. And with Arkansas is a situation where, I mean, you look at it, and Terry, you can speak more to this because you're in SEC country. You have LSU is better than you. You've got Alabama, and your division's better than you.
Yeah, but my question, Dave, my question with you is this. What's your point? I mean, because it sounds like you're trying to defend that Chad Moore shouldn't have been fired. I mean, where
No,
you?
I'm not. No, I'm saying okay. No, All I'm right. not. That's not the point. The point is that whoever they get coming in, I'm saying that you guys, I thought, were making it when our group text, like, it's a great job. I don't think it's a great job. It used to be a great job. It used to be a great job back in when I was a kid. I'm 46 years old.
My point was what I was just, one, just talking about the opening, and regardless of what your thoughts and feelings are on the Arkansas job specifically, the fact is that they have SEC money, and they're going to be able, whether it's Norvell at Memphis or potentially Harsin at Boise State, and yes, he's at his alma mater, so I would I'd be a little surprised for sure to see Brian Harsin leave Boise State to take the Arkansas job, but it just depends on. It depends on what Coach Harsin, I mean, how much he values being at his alma mater the paycheck. But obviously he had been at Arkansas State and he's a tremendous head coach and has ties to that region, just like Mike Norvell at Memphis. So those were two that immediately came to mind. And
Josh Heupel was at Missouri.
Seven and three, and UCF's ready to can him after 3 nail-biting losses.
My ass would be gone to Arkansas tomorrow. That's the one. If I was Josh Heupel, I
don't blame him. I will agree with you on that. That's definitely ridiculous with UCF, and their fan base needs to calm down and realize that you should. What happened is They got spoiled because they're not used to it. But anybody that knows the two undefeated back-to-back seasons, that doesn't happen. I mean, that doesn't happen very often. And so
four years ago, they were 0-12.
Exactly. So they should enjoy – they didn't enjoy – what my point was with them, they didn't enjoy the undefeated because
– the problem is that most of their fans are 35 or younger.
Because their school hasn't been – their school hasn't been around like our school has. And our school is really not that old. But the fact of the matter is with the fan base with Arkansas, what I was trying to say is back in the day, it used to be a great job. They were winning a lot. You go to the SEC, and Terry, wouldn't you say the SEC West is probably the best division in all of college football?
I can get Terry to say that.
They suck.
I know. No, I know that. I'm not for the SEC at all, but there's a lot of quality teams in just that division alone. So I'm saying Arkansas is a very difficult place to win because
Dave, we got some music creeping in. We need to get ready for a break.
Exactly. 12-0. They want to go 12-0, and the reality is they can probably win 8 or 9 ball games on the schedule.
Well, at this point, I think they'd want to win 8 or 9 ball games. They haven't done that in a while.
I know. I'm just saying that they've got to get there back to that point. But overall, Arkansas is one of those fan bases. Why would you take that job? If you're Norvell,
give you about 4 million reasons why I'd take that job.
Money, if that's all you care about it. But if you want to, if your career is not good.
I like $4 million myself.
Yeah, but you also you love to win, and you're not going to be winning at Arkansas. I'm just going to go ahead and do that right now.
What do you mean you can't win at Arkansas?
You have Alabama. Have you ever heard of LSU?
I've heard of them, Dave.
It's going to be easy, but yeah, I mean, you certainly got your work cut out, but I mean, you can.
I tell you the person that I want to see in Arkansas.
Hugh Freeze
will go to Arkansas right now, and maybe he might be one that you can win there, but there's a lot of guys that won't be able to do it.
Today I had the opportunity to go back and watch some of that Liberty game at BYU, speaking of Hugh Freeze, and Liberty had the ball there at the end, down a touchdown with the opportunity to win it.
I really like Hugh Freeze a lot. I think he's one of the best coaches.
On the planet.
Do what?
Anybody that goes around and pumps the Bible and God and Jesus and God and Jesus and Jesus and God and Jesus and Jesus and God and Jesus and God and then screws anything that'll take your panties off, you're a hypocrite, brother. You're a hypocrite. And now you're at a place full of other hypocrites. So you're right at home. Say where you are in hypocrite land, where you can be a hypocrite.
He can win. We're talking about winning football games. I'm not talking about
I can't stand a hypocrite, and that's what he is. Don't preach your
morality. Bobby Petrino?
Bobby Petrino ain't a hypocrite. Bobby Petrino is what he is. I'd rather have Bobby Petrino.
I'll take you any day of the week. At least Hugh Freeze will keep a job. Bobby Petrino, as soon as he gets a job, he's interviewing for another one.
Yeah, but I'd rather
ask Terry Gallagher about the Atlanta Falcons.
I'd rather you be a son of a bitch to my face than come across as something you're not. Don't present yourself as some holier-than-thou person, and meanwhile, you're screwing escorts left and right. Petrino is what
he's a douchebag. He's a douchebag.
And so's Hugh Freeze.
I think I like Hugh Freeze. I'm going to stick with Hugh Freeze.
Well,
maybe
you do.
I really do.
Terry's checked out.
Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
Terry's warming up for his concert later.
Would you take Hugh Freeze as a coach?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
Why not?
Because I wouldn't.
He's a hypocrite.
I personally like him. I'm the only one. But
Mississippi State sucks. LSU sucks. Alabama sucks. Texas A&M sucks. Georgia sucks.
Terry, seriously.
South Carolina sucks.
Oh, God. Terry, seriously.
There's no good college football in America then.
Yeah. Terry, I do have a serious question for you. Just from a philosophy standpoint.
Okay.
Forget from a football standpoint. Because you can debate who's the better coach, Hugh Freeze or Bobby Petrino.
Oh,
knowing what you know about Hugh Freeze and Bobby Petrino.
Let's see.
Who would you rather deal with?
Let's see. This barrel of trash has this content. This barrel of trash has this. The contents of this barrel of trash appear to be stronger than the content. I see a Snickers bar here. So maybe this content of trash.
But who would you rather? Would you rather deal with somebody you know is shady, or would you rather deal with somebody who tries to convince you that they're not shady when they are?
I might even take John Thompson over him on that.
Wow.
Wow. Well, he sucks too, by the way.
No, I do think Hugh Freeze is a good coach. I just don't like hypocrisy, and to me, he's a hypocrite. And just, you know.
So you wouldn't take him at East Carolina as a coach?
From an X's and O's standpoint, yes.
No.
From an X's and O's standpoint, yes, but from a what I think of him as a person, and not because of what he did. It's more of what he presents himself as and what he did. I can't stand that. Yeah.
To me, it's all about human relationships.
Yeah. And
I can't anybody that's just not sure I can explain it properly, but
what about second chances? You don't think that he could be
I am a second chance. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Live on second chances.
Hey, you can't trust him. You can trust Terry Gallagher. Terry Gallagher is what he is.
You know what you get.
Exactly. Hugh Freeze.
And I'm not a sorry. I mean, I'm not a perfect human being, but my sorriness and my fault. I do have a conscience, and I do have a sense of morality and ethics and things such as that.
Hugh Freeze presented himself as being a strong Christian male. I mean, that was one of his big selling points, is what a Christian was. And while he was going to all these Christian speaking engagements, he was through an escort. So, I mean...
We're in agreement on that part of it.
Whereas Bobby Petrino, everybody knows he's a douchebag. It's like, well, he's a douchebag. You know he's a douchebag.
Yeah. Dear coaches, I have left for another job.
Yes, exactly.
And if you will, hand these letters out to the player.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Falcons situation, yeah. So, anyway, I didn't want to get too deep in the weeds on that, but just...
Coach Petrino, no, I think he's headed to the airport.
Yeah.
He left on a motorcycle.
He rode off into the sunset, no doubt about it.
He didn't say he's coming back, but he did leave these letters for y'all.
We were talking about the South Carolina loss to Appalachian State. What other games, for the time we have remaining, let's talk about some games around the country. What games did you guys watch yesterday? What did you like? What did you not like?
I thought Alabama LSU was a lot of fun to watch. Minnesota beat Penn State.
I thought the SEC was big on defense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly, Terry. Video game numbers, right?
44-41 games here.
I love a guy that's a non-SEC guy that's in SEC territory. You have to put up with a lot, don't you?
That's all I hear. We don't play. We don't have games like that. We play good defense. Oh well, this team was superior, this and that, and whatever. Okay, what was the number on the scoreboard?
Take some of those points off, right, Terry? Take them off the board.
Is 44-41 what I see up there? Okay.
And yeah. By the way, Kyle, your favorite coach is number one in the country now. How do you like that?
What are you talking about?
Coach Ogeron.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, congratulations, Coach O.
What up, please?
Wait a minute! Wait a minute!
Well, let me pick out of hand. If anybody's going to go that dead out of the
we're going to just get out of here. We don't play cooking tough football.
Okay, And then
Nick Saban steps up. He goes,
by the way, if Nick anybody is listening to this right now, I can't. God bless you.
Nick, how do you feel about the game? Well, you know, they played a little better on offense than we thought. But there again, you know, we'll see them again in the championship game.
And let's bring up, we talked about this earlier in the pre.
I don't think you mean national championship.
Like, I mean the national. We don't worry about the conference championship. We're playing for the national championship.
Hey, by the way, guys.
Conference championship.
They will. Absolutely. You watch.
Let me make this, in our pre-show, our warm-up show, we had a rehearsal, if you will. I brought up a point, the very fact that the college football playoff is not about crowning a national champion. What they're trying to do is put four brand name teams as a TV-made event until we have a real championship. That's exactly what it is.
I actually think they're making a mistake. I think people are tired of Alabama. I think you'd get better ratings if they weren't on there.
Yeah, and same thing with Clemson. Alabama and Clemson, please, can we have, no offense to them, but let's have somebody besides those two.
You're committing a blasphemy there. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, we've had it, 3 years in a row? We've seen Alabama and Clemson. I mean, can we have somebody? There's more. That's the whole point, too. There's more than four good teams out there, and I think that they're making a huge mistake when they can make even more money. I mean, college football is number two in the whole country as far as popularity behind the NFL is number one.
You know, there was a time when sports wasn't always exactly about who the best teams were. It was about the teams that won games. And so you didn't always have the best team win the championship. You had the team that won the game. Because, in football, that's a strange-shaped football. And, you know, sometimes in football, the best teams don't win. So, in my opinion, it's foolish to talk about putting the best teams in there because that's determined on the field. And when you use a committee to determine, see, if they were using conference champions, I'd say that's okay.
Yeah.
You have to win the conference championship to be in the Final Four, then that's okay. But you don't have to. You know, and so as long as it's that way, then it's a beauty contest. Or, in other words, a man-made thing where you have judges. See, so it's all subjective.
Like, for example, we were talking about Terry – and Kyle and Bubba, we'll include you this time. There's no question that Ohio State deserves to be in the playoff.
Just this time. Ohio State, sure they're good. But on any given day, they can be beat.
Of course they can. They don't want – what drives me crazy with college football is the fact that we love tournaments as Americans. We love the underdog. I mean, see Rocky. We love the underdog. They don't want – Alabama to lose to an East Carolina or a UCF or somebody like that that's not normally on the big stage. They don't want the Cinderella story. And that is exactly what they need. That's exactly what they need to make ratings go through the roof. You want to talk about, oh, my God, look at the giant of Alabama losing to a Goliath. Oh, my God. I mean, that would be a huge story. But they don't want that. They do not want that.
Listen to the giant of Alabama losing to a Goliath.
David, I'm sorry. David is the guy listener. Yeah, you can tell I'm tired.
Think of all people, you would know that name, David.
yeah, exactly. You can tell I'm very tired, but you know my point. The Cinderella story is missing in college football. They need that. It's a great that makes a great story. That's what broadcasting is all about, is great stories. And they're missing out on great stories because they've got to cherry pick and make sure it's the Alabama Invitational one more time.
Boom. Tomorrow.
Outside of Alabama fans, we don't want to see Alabama anymore. We're tired of it.
If you listen to Paul Feinbaum tomorrow, and he'll explain it all to you.
Yeah, I do listen to. I do like Paul.
Screw Paul Feinbaum. I can't stand him.
What are you saying, Kyle?
Did you get a chance to watch any of the other so-called Group of Five games yesterday? Southern Miss with a big win, 38-2 over UAB. Big win in Conference USA. Louisiana Tech blew out North Texas. Boise and Wyoming went to overtime.
I listened to the end of that Boise game. Wyoming definitely had their opportunities to pull that one out. And, no, I didn't get to see any of Southern Miss and UAB, but man, what a win for the Golden Eagles, 37-2, I think it was. Something like that. That was certainly one of the worst, maybe the worst losses that Bill Clark and the Blazers have taken.
Here's something I didn't know until after that game. UAB was without their starting quarterback.
Gotcha. No, that makes more sense as far as why it was so lopsided.
Yeah, but it was still a great performance by Southern Miss, and they were my two Southern Miss buddies. One of them who's been on the podcast, James. They were fired up. They were happy with that win and trying to win out and go 9-3. And our old friend Skip Holtz down at La Tech, 8-1, and got a big one Friday night. Rare ESPN appearance for Conference USA. Friday night, Marshall does battle with Louisiana Tech on ESPN.
And I think that is in Huntington, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
That's a huge game. And we're going to, like Kyle said earlier, with our non-conference schedule, we open the 2020 football season at home hosting Marshall. So that's going to be a great game.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun.
And you know the other, and by the way, guys, you know the other, Terry, you know this too. You know the significance of next year of 2020. That's going to be the 50th anniversary of the plane crash with Marshall. It was November 14th of 1970. So it'll be a couple months before the 50th anniversary.
Oh, that game, that game should get a lot of national attention week one. You know, I've got a hunch, and this is just a hunch. With that being the anniversary and with that being a week one game, just remember I said this. Don't be surprised if ESPN doesn't move that to Thursday night to start the college football season.
Oh, well, that would be that's not a bad idea, even though I hate Thursday nights. So that's making sense.
Yeah, you have a lot of pissed off fans week one being on Thursday, but don't be surprised. If I know my ESPN, they know marketing, and don't be surprised. That's got moving to Thursday night to start the college football season written all over it.
We need to mention that to the East. We're actually going to have Ryan Robinson this week on the show. We need to ask him about.
Well, they won't know that at this point, but.
No, I know. I'm just saying we need to mention that to them, that you better be ready. That it's probably going to be a Thursday night game instead of Saturday, because you know they're already working on next year for.
Maybe we can get former North Carolina athletic director Mike Hamrick, and it's obvious he'll be up at Marshall, and it'd be cool to have him on the show.
Anybody knows Mike Hamrick, we're trying to get him on the show.
If anybody can work it out, I think it's Bubba's dad. I think Bubba's dad and Mike Hamrick are great friends. I think they have a common enemy.
They're great friends, aren't they?
Yeah. My dad and Mike Hamrick, they
go way back, right?
Nah.
The 1996?
No, they have. What the deal is, my dad's an insurance agent. He's a Marshall guy. So my dad had gone with him to the Marshall Charlotte game a few years ago, and the Herd Club or whatever it is. He had gone to their pregame deal down at Charlotte. So and he had a conversation with Hamrick there.
Did it go well?
Henry Trevathan was coaching on that team at East Carolina.
Oh, wow.
You broke up for a minute, Terry. What did you say?
Yeah, he said Henry Trevathan was coaching on that team to beat Marshall.
In 1970.
Yeah. I believe he was. I know he knows, he'd be a good one to talk to about all that.
We need to have, I'll tell you one thing, Trevathan is not only a legend, but the man looks really good to be his age. I didn't know he looks a lot younger than
92. 92 years old.
So. Sharp. He is sharp as a tack, man. The man is. His mind is still great at 92. It's better than mine at 46.
He's a good one. You might want to have on there.
So. Definitely do. What other were there?
Guys, speaking of that Marshall East Carolina game and the anniversary of the plane crash, I'm breaking the news now. This is breaking news. Special guest for that game to start the season. I'm confirming it now. We're going to have Matthew McConaughey on the podcast.
We'll work on it. Hey, we've got.
All right.
Bubba is the booker. So Bubba, that's your assignment.
You know what I like about high school girls? They stay the same age and I get older. All right.
that would be legendary for Bubba to do that. So we'll put you. You have until you're on the clock now, Bubba. Between now and Labor Day of 2020. So we're giving you that. That's enough notice to get a guest, right?
Let him drive.
Yeah, we'll
we'll see if we can get the real Red Dawson.
We're going.
We're
going to tell him we're presented by Lincoln, and that'll get him off.
There you go.
I really feel better about this year coming up about with the program with Houston with the opening day, and I think more season tickets are going to be sold. And I tell you what, and more.
If we can close this season out hot, if we can win these next two, all jokes aside, all BS, all jokes. If we can win these next two games, keep playing offense the way we're playing. With what should be a good home schedule in conference plus Marshall non-conference, who could be coming off the conference USA championship, season ticket sales should go up, I would say, by 3,000 to 5,000 next year. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that there are a lot of people that know football and there are other people that don't know football that are seeing that things are improving. And I had a lady today at my day job, and she had a Pirate football shirt on and she had a toboggan on. It was cold this morning and I'm walking in with her and I said she was talking about the game. I said, I love your shirt. I told her, I said, I'm a Pirate, go Pirates. And we were talking and she told me, she said, the last 2 weeks it's been, even though she said, I know we've lost the games, but she said, you can see improvement. Like we have a chance where things are starting to finally go in the right direction. And she was so excited. And she said about the same time we both were saying, how weird it feels to be excited and we're losing the games, but you can see that instead of getting blown out in the first quarter and the game over, you don't know who's going to win the game, where before Montgomery, you knew we were going to lose. It's depending how much we're going to lose by.
Well, you know, I told you I had the lady come up to me at Popeye's tonight when I was getting dinner, said something very similar. So, and that was in Goldsboro, not Greenville. So people are starting to take notice and, starting to hold their heads up high and realize we're starting to turn the corner, and it's a shame we just couldn't have won one of them.
The Temple game, if you look back on the season, shoulda, coulda, woulda, the Temple game.
The Cincinnati game is the one that's just going to haunt me.
And the Cincinnati and SMU.
Shocking the world.
Well, you know, those three, if you look at it right there, we would have 6 wins going in to the last two, to the bye week. And having Connecticut, and then you have Senior Day against Tulsa, you have a chance to win 8 football games. Or even if you could just win 1 or 2 of those, you have that's what's sickening about the bowl season. But, again, I can tell you one thing. How about this? Next year we have a good shot at going up. That bowl, the amount of bowl tickets that are going to be sold next year, if East Carolina can go, will be legendary. It'll be epic as our good friend Stephen Engel.
Hey, next year's the first year of the Myrtle Beach Bowl. I'd like to go to somewhere bigger, but that'd be kind of fun to pop down.
I don't care what we used to be so snobby about the bowls. I don't care what damn bowl we go to, as long as we go to a bowl. That's all I care about. Whatever bowl it is fine with me.
We could sell that one out ourselves.
Yeah, no kidding.
What's the capacity of that stadium?
It's going to be 20. I think it's going to be 20,000 by the time the bowl game kicks off next year.
Yeah, that's what I was. I knew it was 20 something. So is it just 20 then?
Like 20, 21, something like that. So
okay, there's definitely enough East Carolina fans that can buy all those tickets.
If you imagine somehow if it is the Sun Belt Conference, you'll say the MAC and the American are all involved, Could you imagine if somehow it was East Carolina versus Appalachian? I mean, the game would sell out in a day.
Yeah, there would be no way. That would be – and you want to talk about the secondary market of tickets, like StubHub?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Those tickets would go for – oh, well, I don't even want to think about how expensive those bowl – the fact that it's two teams. I wish they would go back instead of the conference tie-ins. I wish they'd go back to the way they did with the Peach Bowl because that was so great where they picked the teams. I'm old school. I know that things don't work that way, but I like the fact – that you could have a matchup of East Carolina potentially against maybe Virginia Tech or something like that where you create with the two teams being so tense. Or how about East Carolina and UNC, two teams that if it's in Charlotte, that would be like for the Belk Bowl or something like that, where you would be able to take two teams that hadn't played each other in a good while. That would be a good – and you know that the both fan bases would – well, East Carolina's would come, but – I'm sure the Carolina fans would show up since it's so close.
Brandon Simmons would be there.
Speaking of which, Bubba, that's another one. I want to get him on this week for our bye week, our good friend Brandon Simmons, because he coached Tyler Snead, and Tyler has been really coming on strong. And he really believed in Tyler. He coached Tyler in high school. So I was hoping Brandon listens to the podcast. So Brandon, love you, man, and we hope you will definitely come on. We'll put that out there in the universe, so to speak. In podcast land and get him to come on again with us. And by the way, Terry, I want to remind you, and Bubba too, I think Kyle's on board. We're going to have Dana Shrink back on the podcast to talk about the cruise coming up July the 16th to the 20th to the Bahamas. We're going to be going to Nassau, and we want to have Terry's never been on a cruise before. We want Terry to come on with us, and we're going to have a very special podcast. We're going to have Dana's already arranged it where we're going to, with Carnival Cruise Line, we're going to have a cocktail party where we can have fun. We can talk pirate football about how great our team is going to be in 2020. That'll be a couple months before the season, about a month and a half before the season starts. Bubba, are you going to be able to come? I think he's still on the fence, right?
Bubba said, screw your cruise.
I don't think he's coming. I don't know. We'll see how it works out. Kyle, are you coming?
It's going to depend, man. It's going to depend. We should know here shortly. But, picked up some extra bills. So it's just going to depend.
All right. Well, it may be just me. I might be talking to myself. But we'll have a good time if you can come on. Terry, you going to come on with me?
I have no idea at this point.
Oh, man. You're not too far. How far are you away from Charleston?
Just got so many things happening with the in-laws and the wife and so forth. So. Kind of up in the air right now.
We're only going to be on there for 4 days. You can't get away for 4 days?
Like I said.
All right. Well, I know I'm going to be on the cruise, so if you want to come and hang out with us, it's going to be a lot of fun. July the 16th to the 20th in Nassau. We're going from Charleston to Nassau. We're going to have so much fun in the Bahamas, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of gambling going on, and there's lots of pirate beverages there. They've been having a pirate beverage package you can get. So I know Kyle, you can get that, and there's lots of great food, entertainment. It's a lot of fun. So we'll keep you up to date with that. And we'll have Dana on sometime in the next week or two. She told me last week she's going to come on with us again to talk about the cruise. So do you guys have anything else you want to talk about before we go? Any final thoughts?
You know, Dave, I think from the pre-show where we were waiting on the prima donna Bubba Rosenbaum to join us until now, I think we pretty much ran everything that we could possibly talk about into the ground, stepped on it, and stomped it into a hole. So I think we're out of topic.
All right. Bubba, are you still there? I don't know what happened to Bubba.
Bubba
anyway.
Is through with this dog and pony show.
Okay. All right. Terry Gallagher, thank you, man. Appreciate your patience. And I know you're probably tired. You've been talking to us for like 3.5 hours altogether. So right at us. So thank you, man, for...
Yeah.
You got the patience of Job, so you're a gentleman and a scholar. I appreciate that very much. All right, so for Kyle from LaGrange Barber, Bubba Rosenbaum, wherever he went, and Terry Gallagher, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.